Today we're going to talk about troubles. Anybody like going through troubled times? Okay. Anybody like giving troubled times to other people? Okay. Nobody's going to raise their hand on that one. Okay. But we're going to talk about troubles today. That's what we're going to talk about. And you know, trials are just part of life. Trials. NIV calls them trials. New and Living Translation, which I'm working from today, calls them troubles. And so troubles, trials, you can call them whatever you want. But life, they're just a reality to life. And anytime you hear someone teaching that you come and give your life to Jesus and your troubles will go away, they're lying to you. Okay, they are not telling you the truth. Troubles come to believers and troubles come to non-believers. They just come upon, it's part of life. And and you know, some people say, you know, like, well, it'll all be roses. Well, they don't tell you the other part of roses. What? Roses have what? Thorns. You know, you got roses, you got thorns. And so troubles are just, they're a reality. And here's something, and some of you that have been around for a while, we've talked about this before, but here's the reality of life. Every one of us in this room is either in a place where we're just about to go into a trouble. Okay, or we're in a trouble right now, or we're just coming out of a trouble. Okay, does that make sense? Because that's the reality. We're either like, okay, I'm not in a trouble right now. You probably just got out of a trouble and you're headed to a trouble. And that's just the reality how life works. And so you're in one of those three states. And so let's just do this. How many of you would say, would look at life this way and go, you know, I think I might be like have no trouble right now. Like everything's wonderful. Anybody raise their hand to say that? Okay, one, two, three, okay. How many of you would say, I got some trouble right now in my life? Okay, a whole bunch of people. How many of you would say, I just got out of some trouble? Okay, so yeah, so I mean that's just the reality of how life works. We're either heading into a trouble, we're in a trouble, or we're just coming out of a trouble. And this is how James starts his words, his letter. And he's writing this letter to the what's called the diaspora. It's the Jewish believers who have been scattered for, you know, 500 or 600 years they've been scattered, but who have heard the gospel message and have put their faith in Jesus, their trust in Jesus, but they find themselves with all kinds of troubles taking place in their life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me, we'll put up on the screen the passages. We're going to talk about three verses today. James 1, 2 through 4. It goes like this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Sounds like fun, doesn't it? "When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And then it says, "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Now, starts out this brothers and sisters. It's a term that he uses regularly. And he actually uses it about a dozen times in just the short chapters of the book of James. He uses this brothers and sisters, a kind of familial, you know, term of endearment. And then he says, then he jumps right in, and he says, "When troubles of any kind come your way." Notice he doesn't say, "if troubles come your way," because "if" is a possibility word, right? Isn't that what "if" is? It's a possibility word, okay? It's like, it's possible, maybe, it could, sometime, it might happen. He says, "when." "When" is a "it's going to happen" word. That's what "when" is. So he says, "when troubles come your way." When troubles come your way. It's not like a possibility that's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, when the people who were writing the Constitution finished up writing the Constitution, you know, the Constitutional Congress got it all done and wrapped up. Benjamin Franklin, who's this, you know, elderly guy who's in very poor health, he's actually at the Constitutional Convention. He's actually laying on a bed or on a chaise lounge because he can't hardly stand, he can't hardly walk. And so he gathers his strength, and he says this at the end of the Constitutional Congress. He says, "Our new Constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable. But in this world, he says, it looks like this is all going to work. You know, we just got done writing this Constitution. It's durable. It's going to work. I mean, it's all going to happen. And then he says the famous line. But he says, but in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. See, what Benjamin Franklin should have said, in this world, nothing is certain except death, taxes, and trouble. That's what he should have said. Because it's just a reality, and James points that out. You know, the word that's used here for troubles and trials is different from a word we're going to use a little bit later where he talks about temptation. The word that's used here for troubles and trials are things that happen to us from the outside. Temptation is something that happens inside of us when we have this wrestle, this temptation, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But the trouble that's talking about here is what happens from the outside upon us, something that happens to us, something that comes along our way. And notice what he says, troubles of any kind. He doesn't get into specifics, So let's do it just a little bit. I know the folks at home can't participate in this, but just in the room. What kinds of things are troubles that come upon us from the outside? We'll do a little brainstorming here. And somebody's got to be brave and start it out. Loss of a job, okay? Somebody else. Loss of a family member, a death. Is that what you said? Yeah, so a death, okay? What else? Teenagers, okay? That's someone who has a teenager in the house, okay? Yeah. Say it again. Misunderstandings. Did someone else say something? Bad health, okay? Couple more. Natural disasters that happen, okay? So the list, I mean, they're just non-specific because troubles can take any form whatsoever. I wrote a whole list of them. Conflict, suffering, struggles, economic stress, disappointments, criticism, domestic pressure, persecution of our faith, illness, grouchy teachers, or a grouchy boss, or a grouchy coworker, or a grouchy spouse, marital strife, parenting strong-willed children. That might have been what the reference to teenagers. I don't know who said it, but being passed over for a promotion, the union going on strike, your project is canceled, you're going to be transferred, an angry police officer, flat tires, broken down appliances, cell phones in the toilet, car accidents, computers that crash. Anybody had some of those? Okay, anybody had those? Okay. How about moral dilemmas? You find yourself with moral dilemmas at work where there's cheating going on, there's lying going on, there's people padding expense counts, and you got to deal with it, and all of a sudden it's upon you to wrestle through it. And he says this. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now he's telling us, he says, you know, when these troubles come upon you, it's to test your faith. And faith here not being like, what do I believe? Faith, totally. But it's faith is kind of put in the word today, and this is how I'm going to do it. Put in there the word trust. Okay? So I'm in the middle of some trials come upon me. Some health thing, some financial thing, some parenting thing, some relationship thing, some conflict at work. What's happening in the middle of that is God wants to use that to test my trust. Are you going to trust me in the middle of this situation? Are you going to trust me? Or are you just going to throw up your hands, walk away? Or are you going to reach out and are you going to trust me in the middle of this? Are you gonna trust me? That's what the trials and the troubles come in order, and he just says to test us. It's a test. Are you gonna trust me, or are you just gonna give up and walk away? And then he says, and when it tests our trust, and then that endurance might be built. He says so that endurance might be built. So when you're going through a trouble, your trust is being tested, and you know. It's like, am I going to trust at this level right here? Because the reality is another test you're going to go through is going to be a bigger test than the test you're currently in. Everybody with me? Which that's not good news. Like, okay, like I wish I hadn't come today. I don't want to know this. But, you know, we're in a little trial and we have to trust. That building that trust is preparing us for another trust that's going to come that will look different and maybe be more intense. And then at that point, we can go, hey, I think I can do this because I did it back here. And every one of them just builds us to where all of a sudden it's like, okay, we can do this with courage. We can do this with trust. I can go through this struggle right now. I can go through this conflict right now. I can go through this financial situation right now. I can go through whatever. I can go through this right now because I went through this, and I went through this, and I went through this, and I went through this. Everybody with me? You know, when I went to college, Barb and I were married. We had a kid on the way, and then shortly afterwards, we had another kid born. And I was working full time. I was actually working two part time jobs. It was like full time, and then a student, working. And about the only thing I did while I was there was I played intramural sports. So I played intramural football, and I played intramural basketball. And so shortly after I got there, and I had just been a youth pastor at a little church in Eastern Washington, Barb and I had, and then I part-time worked as a ranch hand. Some of you have heard me tell these stories before, but I worked as a ranch hand. So, you're working cattle and castrating and branding and dehorning and, all the stuff you do working around cattle. And so we're in this flag football game. I'm playing intramural football. We're in a flag football game, and I'm playing defensive end. And so I'm on the end of the line and, defense, and this guy would come at me, and he was right across from me. I had no idea who he was. He was much younger than I was 25 at the time, 25, 26. He was probably 18, and coming at me, and as he's coming at me, and I would just step aside, kind of push on him, and he'd go in the ground, and then he'd go in the ground, and then he'd go in the ground. And at one point, he just got up, and he was so mad at me, got right in my face, and he said, "You're just afraid of me. That's why you won't let me hit you." Well, I wanted to say, no, it's because I have more IQ than you have. That's why I'm not letting you hit me. That's what I should have said. But what I actually said to him, he's right in my face yelling at me, and he's just like, "You're just afraid of me." And this is what came to my mind, so this is what I said to him. I just got done being in corrals with 2,000-pound bulls. You do not scare me. And it makes me think of Todd when I asked you to help me get that calf, pull that calf from the neighbor here. And Todd said, "Well, can you rope it?" And I said, "I can rope it." I had no horse, so you're just on your feet. I said, "I can rope the cow, but what do we do when it's on the end of the rope?" but we did. We roped it. We got it onto a tree and then got the calf out that the calf needed to be pulled. And so, but I said to this guy, "I am not afraid of you because you're nothing compared to a 2,000-pound bull." That's kind of like you do this and you do this and you do this and then you do this and then you get to this and you go, okay, I built some trust. I built some strength. I built some courage. I built some things because I kept going through that and that and that and that, and I came out the other end stronger. That's what he's talking about. That, like it or not, that's what he's talking about. And the question, when you go through a trial or a trouble or a test, the question always is, am I going to trust? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust right now in the middle of this? When he says faith is tested, it's the term that's used there of tested is where they would test metals to see whether metal was pure or not, what kind of alloys it had in it. And so they would test it with fire. The idea of dross, most of you are familiar with the idea of dross. You heat up the metal, and some of the metal has a lower boiling point than other metal, and so then it rises to the top, and then they would skim it off, or ultimately, and then it gets poured off, and then it just becomes dross. You can look up pictures for all kinds of aluminum dross and all kinds of things. But faith goes through the fire. My trust goes through the fire to figure out what kind of alloys are in my trust. Is my trust pure or is my trust just partial? Because I got some alloys mixed in there. And the testing, the trial, the trouble comes like a furnace, like a fire, in order to deal with the dross in that faith. That the faith might be stronger and the faith might be more pure. What it's actually talking about is it wants to remove the trial and the trouble that comes, that tests me, wants to deal with some of the drossy stuff in my life. That's what it's about. It's like this drossy kind of thing that in my life, that would get burned away, like judgmental attitudes. You know, I go through a trial and judgmental attitudes come come out of me. And then God says, okay, well, let's just work on some of those judgmental attitudes. Because we've all experienced this at some level. We judge someone because they're going through a hard time and the way they're handling that hard time, and we have an attitude towards them. Like, man, you know, they're not very tough, are they? Until we go through a trial. And all of a sudden we realize now I got some empathy for them. Because you know some people who deal with chronic pain. And you're like, oh, you know, it's this chronic pain. Just deal with it. Until you're the one that's dealing with the chronic pain, right? And all of a sudden you're in the middle of that. And if God gets his way, then what happens is all of a sudden the judgmental attitude of the drossy judgmental attitude gets burned away. And all of a sudden you have some new empathy and compassion for that person who has to live with chronic pain. Everybody with me? That's what he's talking about here. Is that the trials come, and if we'll work with them, the trials come to burn away the alloys, to burn away those things in our life that shouldn't be there. And he says, and when that happens, when that trust gets tested and the trust keeps growing, then what happens is our endurance grows. Again, now we can handle even a different trial. We can handle a bigger trial. We can handle two trials at the same time. We can handle three trials coming. Anybody ever had three trials at the same time? I mean, it's part of life, isn't it? But we can handle them, and because we're trusting. This idea of endurance is, you know, it's like, can you stand up? Can you hold that thing up? That's what the idea is. And some of the words use staying power, grit, toughness, tenacity. And you know, endurance takes time to build. Nobody is born with endurance. Now, some people have a little bit more natural endurance than others, but as a whole, endurance is not something, it's something that has to grow. It's something that has to be created and developed in our life. And it doesn't happen just overnight. It's a slow process. And some trials we go through build a little bit of endurance. Some trials we go through when we get out the other end, we've gained a bunch of endurance. We've gained more endurance. Yeah, most of you know I'm a runner, and you know, when people first take up running, and then they get hurt, and like, don't you hurt? And you know, and when people say to me, doesn't it hurt you to run? I go, yeah, but it hurts to not run. You know, just because, anyway. But when they take up running as an activity, you know, an exercise, and this is true of bike cycling, this is true of weightlifting, almost anything anybody does. Is the problem when people take it up, they're like, I got to start doing something. And they take it up, and then they get hurt, and they go, I can't do that. I get hurt when I do that. The problem with most people is they start, and then they do it too much, too fast. See, your muscles can do things that your tendons and ligaments and cartilage and other soft tissue can't do. Does this make sense? And so my muscles, you know, I can do this, you know, I can do this. And then we call them weekend warriors who get hurt every weekend. Okay? Because their muscles can take it, but all of the other connecting tissues. So there's this kind of rule in sports, or especially endurance sports, is you don't increase more than 10% a week. Like, you don't go and like, oh, I ran a mile last week, so this week I'm gonna run 10 miles. You're gonna get hurt. It's gonna hurt, and you're gonna be hurt. You have to build your endurance. It's the same kind of a thing spiritually. You know, weekend marathoners like, you know, that ran the Boston Marathon last Monday, weekend marathoners and people who are just, you know, they that's what they do. They typically have spent 500 to 1,000 miles of running to get ready for the marathon. Because nobody that has any brains just goes out and runs a marathon. I mean, it's months and months of training, months and months of getting out in our weather, in cold, rainy, nasty, come home soaking wet weather, in order that you, because all those miles and all that work, you're building endurance. Okay? And you're building toughness. You know, when one of my older brothers was a runner, and during this time, the coach couldn't do this today, but in his time, when he was in school in cross country, you know, one of the cross country runners would say to Coach Shaw, was his name, say to Doc, "Hey Doc, I'm not feeling good today. I think I'm going to go home and skip practice." And he'd say, "Well, come here." And he'd, like to my brother, he'd say, "Chambers, come here." And he'd open his desk drawer and he'd pull out an aspirin and he'd get some Scotch tape and he'd tape it to his forehead because he couldn't give medicine. But he said, "Tape it to his forehead." And he said, "Now get out there and run and don't stop until you get back here." See, too often what we want to do when a trial comes is, what do we want to do? We want to get out of it. We want to find the quickest, shortest, easiest way to get out of it. We run from it. We don't want to go through that. But in the reality is, if we'll cooperate with Jesus when trials and troubles come, it will produce endurance, tenacity, and it will produce spiritual toughness. And if you have been around for a few years, you heard me when we were coming through the pandemic and through the election years and through all the racial things that were going on, all that stuff. You heard me say how disappointed I was with the church in America because we were not doing well. We lacked spiritual toughness. You heard me say that. And oftentimes, we lack spiritual toughness as, I'll just do American. I mean, if we as American Christians had to endure some of the things that Christians have to endure other places, like I look over in Ethiopia, like some of the things that Ethiopia, or we're going a couple of weeks, we're having a missionary from that works with the Muslims in Nigeria. And I mean, if you think about some of the things Christians are going through in other, we're weenies. We are total weenies. We could just have the church of the weenies. Because what we want to do is we want to run from trials. We want to run from troubles. We want to get out of them as fast as we can. But what this is trying to say, what James is trying to say, is he's saying, you got to understand that trials are to your benefit. They're to your good. Dick Sumi, aren't you glad you came to church today? Dick Sumi says this. He says, spiritual toughness is the key to saintliness. Mother Teresa was spiritually tough. Billy Graham was spiritually tough. You just go through the list of anybody who you would want to talk about. C.T. Studd, spiritually tough. Hudson Taylor, spiritually tough. Chuck Swindoll, spiritually tough. Anybody who you'd look at who's a spiritual giant, they have a spiritual toughness, and the spiritual toughness came into their life because of the trials that they went through. You don't get there without going through them. You know, it's like the butterfly. The butterfly, you know, you have a butterfly, you know, the caterpillar makes a chrysalis, and the butterfly is in that chrysalis, and, you know, all the change that's happened inside it, which is one of the most amazing things in all of creation, the change that happens. Because you've heard me mention this before, maybe if you've heard me talk about creation, but there is nothing left of that caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. Everything inside of it. It takes all of the caterpillar and goops it. I talked about that before. Goops it, and then it makes it in this butterfly. But if someone rips open that chrysalis to let the butterfly free, that butterfly will not be able to fly. Because the butterfly needs to go through the work, the strain and the struggle and the work to work itself out of that chrysalis. And then once it's worked its way out of the chrysalis, then it's able to fly. But you try and rescue a butterfly out of a chrysalis, the butterfly will die because it can't fly. And see, again, that's the idea that he's talking about here. So often we want to get out of the chrysalis. Somebody help me. Help me get out of the chrysalis. You know, help me, help me. The problem is sometimes when we help people, they fail to fly. They fail to prevail. They prevail. They fail to be launched. Because we got them out of the trial instead of helping them and supporting them in the middle of it. And then he says this. He goes on in the passage. He said, so let it grow. Let your endurance grow. Let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed. So he says, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed. We'll finish the sentence here. But he says, let it grow. It's like he's like, bring on the trouble. Just let it, bring it on. If this is for my benefit, bring, you know, you're, because here's what we want to do. We're in a trouble at work. We want to find a different place to work where there are no troubles. Can you work somewhere where there are no troubles? You can around here, okay? I'm just kidding. Right? If Brenda's your boss, there are no troubles, okay? If Brenda's the boss, see, you can't find a place to work where there's no trouble. I'm going to go find another church. There's just too much trouble in that church. Well, go find a church with no troubles. Go find a church. Good luck. Ain't going to happen. Every church has trouble. Are you with me? It's just the reality. It's just the reality. It's like, let it, come on, bring it on. Here's how David said it, King David. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you and lead me along a path of everlasting life." I mean, David actually says, he says, like, God, you got to do something in me because I got dross in my life and I want that dross removed. So you got to do something in my life. You know, and while you're in the middle of the trouble, you know, the questions are to ask is, God, what are you wanting me to learn? What are you trying to teach me in the middle of this trouble? This financial trouble, what are you trying to teach me? This job change, what are you trying to teach me? This, someone got the promotion and you didn't get it and you think you deserve it. So, you know, what are you trying to teach me with that other person getting the promotion? Whatever it happens to be, what are you trying to teach me, God? And then listen for what God might be trying to teach you. And when someone asks you, hey, how's it going? And you're in the middle of a trial. Hey, how's it going? You can answer to them and you can say, you know what? My endurance is being built. 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 The Apostle Peter talked about this whole endurance thing. Let me read Peter's words to you. He said some of the similar words that James wrote, some of the similar words. He says, so be truly glad. Not fully of joy or great joy, but he says, be fully glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure trials, many trials, for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It'll test your faith to show that it's genuine. The alloys have been burned away. Your faith is genuine. And then he says this, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through your many trials, when your faith remains strong through many trials, started with a little bit of trust here, then a little bit more trust, then a little bit more trust, then a little bit. And some of you in the room are brand new in this idea of trusting God. You're brand new. You're just trying to figure out what does it mean to trust God. And others in the room have been trusting God through all kinds of things for decades. For decades. One time, Barbara and I, Tom and Trella invited us to their house for lunch, and we went over to their house and told us about Tom having survived. He was the only survivor in a small plane crash in a lake in Alaska. And told us about all the things that took place. Well, that kind of an event that happens, and you ought to ask him about it. You ought to say, okay, Tom, I want Tom, raise your hand, would you, Tom and Trella? You ought to ask Tom and Trella about it. And I mean, they were still, obviously, it still shakes them. But years ago, the only survivor, and the trust that had to go both of them through all of that. Well, that's because you build trust as time goes on. That's what happens. This trust gets built. So he says this. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed. Or Paul said it this way, again, similar words. He says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. He says, we can rejoice when we got troubles and trials. We can rejoice when they come. And he says, for we know that they help. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strong character, strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So again, when the question's asked, When the question's asked, you know, or when you're going through a trial, you ask the question, am I going to trust? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust in the middle of this? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust? And again, it doesn't matter what kind. When someone slams into you on the road and you have a car accident, am I going to trust God? A job gets, you know, given to someone else. Am I going to trust? Let's go back to the very start of these verses. And this is what he said. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So I'm kind of going backwards here. He says, consider it an opportunity for great joy or complete joy. You know, when you go through these trials, when you go through a trouble of any kind, it doesn't matter what kind it is, he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. The word I consider is evaluate it, look at it, study it, and then come to the understanding. So he says, well, consider it the opportunity for great joy. The New Living Translation says, your NIV says pure joy. But consider it. It's like evaluate it. Come to an understanding. Get this figured out. Get this figured out. And he's making a mental switch is what he's really talking about. See, our natural reaction to a trial or a trouble is, I gotta get out of this. That's our natural reaction. I gotta get out of this. I can't do this. This is bad, really bad. I've had enough of this. I can't take no more. One time, Barbara and I were shopping a few years ago at Costco. Costco went from the normal jugs to the square jugs, the no spill, yeah, I mean, easy spill jugs. You know, when they went to that, did everybody know what I'm talking about? And what we're walking down the aisle, and we're right by where the milk was at that time. It was in one of the coolers, and we're walking in there. And this guy, he's with us shopping with his wife, and he opens the door, and he puts his head in, and he sees the milk, and he just, like, freezes in space. Just like, he's just totally frozen. And then he pulls out like that and shuts the door, and he turns to his wife and says, I can't take this. I can't take any more change in my life. And it was a milk jug. I think he missed something along the way on his testing, that all of a sudden this milk jug sent him over the top. But isn't that what we want to do? We're in the middle of something going on, and we want to figure out how to get out of it. And James is saying, don't figure out how to get out of it. Switch, make a mental switch, change and realize that this is going to help me become stronger. This test of my faith is going to give me more endurance. I will become spiritually tougher because of this, rather than, again, trying to get out of it. You know, and he's not saying, you know, just like celebrate because you, oh boy, I get to go through a trial. Go, oh, isn't this great? I'm going through a trial. He's saying, no, the joy is not because you're going through a trial. The joy is the reality that on the other end of the trial, you're going to be stronger spiritually if you cooperate, I'm going to use this word, if you embrace the trial. See, we want to push the trial away. But instead, what he's telling us to do is he's telling us to embrace the trial. Grab a hold of the trial. Realize, and again, you don't go looking for trials. You don't go looking for troubles. But when they come your way, you grab a hold of them and go, what is God wanting to do in my life right now? This financial thing, this car breakdown thing, this parenting thing, this grandparent. What is God wanting to do in my life right now? What's God trying? How is God trying to build my trust in Him? And here's the reality. You want to learn trust at this level and this level and this level and this level. So all of a sudden you find yourself in this level and you got to figure out how to trust in this level and you've not gone through all those levels. This is almost impossible. This is where people get mad at God and walk away from Him. How dare you do this to me? How dare you? I mean, that's what they say to God. How dare you do this to me? Well, sometimes people get to the how dare you place because they haven't allowed their endurance and their trust to be built. Everybody with me? So whatever trial you're in right now, you need to look at it and go, okay, what am I supposed to learn right now? Because you don't know, only God knows, we use that line, only God knows what trial is down the road that your trust needs to be prepared for because it's down the road, but you don't know it. See, here's what happens. You know, there's all these shows about flipping houses, and sometimes we'll have them on, you know, at the house, and they're flipping this house and flipping that house and so on. And which is, it's all funny. I was talking to a local builder, a friend of mine, not too long ago, and he said, you know, I got this house, and these people went out, and they bought these door handles, and they bought these light fixtures, and Leroy said, and you know, the door handles, I said, and they want me to use them. And I go, well, they don't fit the door. You got to totally redo the door to put this door handle in, because it takes a square. I mean, this whole thing. And he goes, and he said, and they bought light fixtures, and they're not the light fixtures for the ceiling that they have, but they want me to figure out how to use them. And I go, and then I said to Leroy, and I said, you know what? And they want you to get it done in 3 or 4 days. Because in a TV flipper show, what happens? It's done in a 30-minute show. It's over. But John, it doesn't happen like that, does it? John and Dory are working on remodeling a house. It doesn't happen like that. Here's what happens in our life is we want God to flip our life in an instant. And we want God to flip our life without any demolition. The problem is you don't remodel a house without demolition, right? I mean, you gotta pull out the sink, pull out the bathtub, pull out the toilet, pull out the floor, replace. I mean, you gotta do all the stuff if you're gonna remodel something. You have to flip it or remodel it. There's a bunch of destruction that takes place. And we all want to go through the remodel to come out something different and something better without going through the demolition. Everybody with me? That's what we want to do. It's like, I wrote this down. It's like this. It's like, you know, Jesus looks at us and goes, okay, you want to be different? You want to be something different in your life? You want this changed? You want this taken care of? You want this worked out of your life? Well, there's going to be some demolition that's going to take place. Come on, Holy Spirit, demolition crew, bring it on. Because there's some demolition that's going to take place. And we scream, no, remodel me, Lord, but don't change anything. Well, he can't remodel you without changing some things. It's not called a remodel if he leaves you the same. It's called the same. But he's got to do a work to remodel, and it takes some demolition. And we scream, no, no, no. One of the greatest impediments to spiritual growth, to spiritual maturity, to endurance, to grit, is running from troubles. One of the greatest impediments. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. This isn't fair. Not me, not me. And we want to run from it. And because we run from it, we don't grow spiritually. We fail to let our trust be tested and grow. See, James's admonition is to embrace the trouble. You don't go looking for it. But when it comes your way, you embrace it. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn? What am I supposed to get from this? Go ahead and throw that last couple slides up. I'm going to read this one more time. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, when we started, some of you, I said, anybody into trouble right now? And some of you raised your hand. And if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, now that I've been talking, you got some courage about you, I want you to stand. If you've got a trouble going on right now, it doesn't matter what it is, financial trouble, relationship trouble, whatever it happens to be, if there's some like, I'm in trouble right now, I got a trouble going on in my life, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And those of you that are not standing, I'm going to pray for you because you're either coming out of a trouble or you're going to head into a trouble. So I'm going to pray for you, but especially these folks that are standing. Let me pray. Father, you know every one of these folks that are standing. You know the details of their life, regardless of how and where they are in their journey of walking with you. You know all of the details about their life. There's relationship troubles, there's financial troubles, there's work troubles, there's parenting troubles, there's health troubles, there's troubles around little things, and there's troubles around big things. There's things of chronic health and chronic pain issues. There's eyesight that's failing. There's all kinds of things that are represented by people that are standing here, as well as people that are at home responding right now. And Lord, I pray for each one of them. I pray, Lord, exactly what I've said we're supposed to pray. Lord, what are you wanting to teach them through this trouble? What are the things you're wanting to burn off some dross? In what ways are you wanting to purify their trust and make their trust that they can, we can do this? Jesus, you and me, we can make it through this. We can come out the other end with the realization that I'm going to be better for this. And Lord, help them to be able to grab a hold of that, to do a mind switch, to have a transformation in their mind and they're even thinking about how they're looking at trouble, that they could see that this is going to make me stronger. This is going to make my faith stronger. It's going to make my faith and my trust more pure, and it's going to build endurance for me. So Lord, do that work. Do that work for every one of them that are standing right now. And then Lord, for the others that are seated, some of them, they just came out of a trouble. Thank you for helping them through the trouble. Thank you that you built and you did, even if they're not fully aware of it, you did some work of building trust and in building endurance in their life. And then, Lord, those that are on the other side and they're headed, maybe there's a trouble coming some point down the road, a week away, 2 weeks away, a month away. I don't have any idea what that is. They don't have an idea what it is. But, Lord, work in their hearts and their spirits. Do all that you're wanting to do to give them rest and recovery during this time, that they would be ready for when that trial comes to be able to grab a hold of you, grab a hold of the trust they need to have, and allow you to build the trust and build the endurance in life. Health things, do it. Relationship things, do it. Financial things, do it. Lord, thank you that you take all of these things that happen in our life. Thank you that if we embrace them and we cooperate with you, you use them to mature us, to be the people you want us to be. And Father, I pray for the church in America. Pray for the church across this land, God. And we need to be strengthened. We need to grow in our strength. We have seen the escalation of all kinds of things in this world that trouble our souls, that trouble our spirit, that make life harder and harder to live in as a follower of you. And Lord, it's not going to go backwards. It's going to keep going that same direction. So we need to learn spiritual toughness. And we pray, Father, help us to cooperate with you to build spiritual toughness in our life. Thank you for what you're going to do. We want to grow in our trust. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Go have a great day. Greg and Gloria will be up here ready to pray for anybody who wants prayed for. And don't leave here. If you need prayer, don't leave here without getting prayed for. God bless you. Go have a great afternoon.